The call came at 11:43 at night, while I was checking vitals in room 4. My phone buzzed twice in my pocket, and I ignored it. Then a third time. Then a fourth. I slipped out to the hallway and looked at the screen. My sister's name. 4 missed calls. And a text that said only, check the news right now. I couldn't check it for another 6 minutes. A patient had coded 2 doors down. By the time I got to the break room, my hands still carried the faint smell of latex, and my sister was already talking so fast I had to ask her to slow down. They're throwing out the ballots, she said. The late ones. Yours might be one of them. I'd voted by mail. I'd sent my ballot 3 days before the deadline. I had the tracking number. I had the little stub the county mailed back, the one I'd put on my nightstand because I didn't know what else to do with it. The stub said, ballot received. Status, accepted. They can't do that, I said. She told me to just check the news. I sat in the break room with my phone in my hands and read the same paragraph 4 times. There was a knitting bag propped against the chair across from me, left by a colleague who sometimes brings it on night shifts because she says it keeps her calm. I stared at it. I read the article a 5th time. Then I went back to work, because there were still 6 hours left in my shift, and the patient in room 6 needed her IV changed. I have to explain something. I am not a political person. I mean that in the most literal way. I don't go to rallies. I don't put signs in my yard. I don't argue online. I vote. And I go back to work. And I keep my head down. I've been a registered nurse for 11 years. I work 12-hour shifts, 3 or sometimes 4 days a week, at a hospital in Maricopa County. I have a daughter named Ava, who is 17. I have a cat named Lou, who I never actually wanted and now cannot imagine being without. I have never, in my adult life, voted in person on election day. That's not a statement. That's logistics. My shifts start at 7 in the morning, and they end at 7:30. Sometimes 8. Sometimes closer to 9, when the night team is short. Polling places close at 7. I've never made it. When Arizona made mail-in voting permanent and automatic for registered voters, I remember thinking, finally, something designed for the way I actually live. I registered as a permanent early voter in 2020 and mailed my ballot every cycle since then. Never missed an election. Never had a problem. This year, I mailed my ballot 12 days before election day. 12 days. I have the post office receipt in my glove compartment, folded once, tucked behind my registration. I saved it, because I'd read somewhere that you should keep a record. That's the kind of person I am. I keep records. I have receipts for things that probably don't matter, and receipts for things that turn out to matter more than I knew. The USPS had been running behind. There were delays across the Southwest, something to do with a regional sorting facility outside Phoenix that had been understaffed since October. My ballot, sent 12 days early, arrived at the county office on November 4th. Election day was November 3rd, 1 day late. Not because I waited, because a building in the desert didn't have enough people in it. I learned most of this afterward. At the time, all I had was the stub and the article my sister sent and a kind of cold that settled into my shoulders while I stood in the break room hallway and read. The smell of hospital at night is specific and hard to describe. Antiseptic and something underneath it, something human and close. I stood in that smell and I read about my ballot on a 3-inch screen under fluorescent light. And then I put my phone away and went back to work because that's what you do. I didn't sleep when I got home. I sat at the kitchen table with Lou and my laptop and read everything I could find. The tracking system the USPS uses. The Maricopa County canvassing process. The precedents for ballot receipt deadlines. I am a nurse. I am trained to gather information before I draw a conclusion. I read until the room got light outside and Ava's alarm went off upstairs. The Republican National Committee filed an emergency motion in federal court the morning after the election. They were asking a judge to invalidate all mail-in ballots received after Election Day in 4 states. Arizona was one of them. The legal argument was clean, almost elegant in its brutality. The law says election day, not election week, not the grace period, not the human error buffer. Ballots received after midnight on election day are not election day ballots. Simple as that. I sat in the break room that night, with Lou waiting for me at home, and a 17-year-old asleep in her room, and 6 hours left in my shift, and I read that argument, and I thought about the stub on my nightstand. The legal fight took 4 months. By the time the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case in early March, there were roughly 43,000 ballots in limbo across the 4 states. In Arizona alone, the court filings listed 11,200 and something. I found the number buried in an appendix. Listed as affected absentee votes. Arizona, late received. 11,000 people who had mailed their ballots on time. 11,000 paper trails leading back to post offices and kitchen tables and car doors sealed against November wind. I called the county recorder's office twice. The first time I was on hold for 37 minutes before I gave up. The second time I got through to a woman who told me she couldn't provide legal guidance and that if I had concerns about the status of my ballot, I could consult an attorney. I did not have money for an attorney. I have a mortgage and a 17-year-old and a hospital job that pays well, but not attorney well. There was a legal aid organization taking ballot cases. I found them through a community Facebook group I almost never look at. I filled out their intake form in February, sitting at my kitchen table after Ava went to bed. The form asked me to describe in my own words how my ballot had been affected. I wrote 2 sentences and deleted them. Then I wrote them again. I ended up saying, I voted 12 days early, and my ballot arrived 1 day late because of a postal delay. I have documentation. Documentation. As if that was the thing in question. I came home from a night shift in late February and found the stub still on my nightstand, right where I'd left it in November. I'd been moving around it for months, sliding my water glass to the left, setting my phone down without covering it. I picked it up and looked at it under the lamp. It still said ballot received, status accepted. The legal aid organization contacted me 6 weeks after I submitted the intake form. By then the Supreme Court had already heard oral arguments. There wasn't much they could do at that point, except confirm that my ballot was in the class of affected votes and make sure I was documented. I watched the oral arguments on a live stream. I don't know exactly why. I sat on the couch on a Tuesday morning with my laptop and Lou, and the feeling that I should bear witness to something, even if I didn't fully understand the procedure. They talked for 2 hours. They said respondents and petitioners and the class of late received ballots. They said the statute is clear. One of the justices. I wrote his name on a piece of paper I later couldn't find, said that the court's role was not to accommodate administrative failures. He said those 2 words, the way someone says them when they've already made up their mind. Administrative failures? The sorting facility in Phoenix was understaffed. The USPS didn't have enough drivers. I sent my ballot 12 days before the election. Administrative failure. My mother grew up in Alabama. In the summer of 1965, the summer after the Voting Rights Act passed, she drove a used Ford truck through 3 counties registering voters. She went to churches and community centers, and once to an old woman's porch because the woman was 92 and couldn't leave the house. She told me that story so many times I can hear her voice telling it, the particular way she said the word porch, like it mattered that it happened there and not somewhere else. She died in 2019. She never saw any of this. I think about her when I think about the stub. I think about her a lot. The decision came down on a Tuesday in March. I traded shifts to be home. I sat at the kitchen table and opened my laptop and refreshed the Supreme Court's website for the 4th or 5th time that morning, the way you refresh a patient's chart when you're worried and can't stop checking. There's a particular weight to that kind of waiting. It lives low in your chest. I know it well. 6-3. States are not required to count ballots received after Election Day, regardless of when the ballot was mailed or what caused the delay. The opinion was 47 pages. The dissent was 31. I read the summary. I did not read the full opinions. my ballot would not be counted. The 43,000 ballots would not be counted. I called the legal aid organization. A paralegal told me that the decision was final, that there was no further appeal at this stage, and that she was sorry. She sounded like she meant it. I told her thank you, and I meant that. Then I sat there with the phone in my hand after she hung up, listening to the silence on the line for a moment before I put it down. I sat there for a while. The refrigerator made a sound it makes sometimes in the mornings, a low rhythmic clicking. And I was aware of it the way you're aware of things when something large has just happened and the world has not paused to acknowledge it. Cars outside, somebody's dog, the refrigerator clicking. Ava came downstairs around 10. She's 17 and she absorbs information through a kind of osmosis I don't fully understand. She knew something had happened before I said anything. She sat down across from me and said, "Is this the ballot thing?" I told her yes. She was quiet for a moment. Then she asked what we do now. I didn't have a clean answer. I still don't. What I know is that she turns 18 in September. What I know is that the next election is in November. What I know is that she will need to take the afternoon off from wherever she's working by then and go to a physical polling place and stand in whatever line there is and feed a ballot into a machine that will count it that day. And I will do the same thing. I will trade shifts and make it work. And I will stand in that line. And I will think about my mother's Ford truck and the woman on the porch. I took the stub off my nightstand and put it in a folder where I keep things I don't know what to do with. The receipt from my mother's last hospital stay. A photograph of Ava's first day of kindergarten. A letter I wrote and never sent to anyone. The stub still says ballot received, status. Accepted. The county accepted it. The state accepted it. 12 days early, 1 day late, and 43,000 names that didn't make it into the final count. I keep wondering what the right size is for something like that, whether it fits inside a news cycle or a legal brief or a personal story told to a stranger, whether it fits at all. I don't have an answer. I'm not sure the question has one. What I do know is this. Ava asked what we do now, and I told her we show up. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know what enough looks like from here, but I know I'll be in that line in November. And so will she. And so will a lot of people who've been carrying a stub just like mine, wondering the same thing. Is that what this costs? Or is that just where it starts? I have no idea who reads these things. I have no idea if a story about a ballot and a post office and a Sunday night phone call means anything to someone outside of it. Maybe you've been in a line like the one I'm imagining. Maybe you've carried something in a folder you don't know what to do with. Maybe none of this is yours, and you're just watching through the glass. What I know is that the stub is in the folder now. What I know is that I mailed something in good faith, and it wasn't enough, and I've been asking myself for months what enough would have looked like. I don't have the answer. But Ava asked what we do now. And I said we show up. And that's where I am, standing at the edge of the next time, waiting to see if it holds.